And get in the Word of God. It's time to get excited. If you're not excited already, it's time to get excited. Because the Word of God is coming. It's there to fill your soul. You got a boy? God said, I'm filling. When you trust in Him, He will bring forth His very best in your life. Amen?
Amen?
Why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you now because, Lord, we love you. And there's no place we'd rather be in than in the presence of our Lord God and King. And I ask you now, Lord, as my brothers and sisters come hungry for your word, I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak mightily into our lives. That, Father, we truly don't want to leave here the same person. We want to be more like Jesus. And it's your very words that will give us the life. Give us what we need to live a life that is truly victorious. So, Father God, we say, have your way, because, Lord, there's no other way but your way alone. We just thank you for what you're going to speak into our lives this very morning. We give you all the praises. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, if you don't have notes, by the way, you can raise your hand and we'll make sure someone will get you notes. Everyone got notes? All right. Awesome. Well, today the title of my sermon is Loyal Like a Dog. Yes, you heard me right. Loyal like a dog. Now I got to tell you, I've been a pastor for about 7 years now. I know that's not very long. But you know, many people have asked me, you say, Pastor Ben, how do you come up with a sermon every single week? I remember one person saying to me, hey, Pastor, if it was me, I'd be stressed out every week. Well, first of all, I want to tell you, I don't come up with anything. Seriously, I simply live my everyday life. And I listen very carefully to the Holy Spirit as He speaks into my life. And then as the Holy Spirit comes up with a lesson to be learned in it, it is spoken through His Word. And as I learn from my mistakes, yeah, I do make mistakes. And Johnny would tell you, sometimes I make a lot of them. But you know, with God's loving correction, I hear His voice. And then I want to share it to you from what I've learned, from my experiences, hoping that you too can find the same solution my own personal experiences, because you know what, God, He will speak into every one of our lives, but we can learn from each other's mistakes, can't we?
Yes.
Because, you know, the Bible is filled with godly and not so godly people, which we can learn from their mistakes. And some people, you know, we can think of offhand is like Moses, you know, David, Saul, Daryl, Jonah, Peter, and Judas, just to name a few, right? And some of them, yeah, they really learned their mistakes and they made it right with God, but some didn't learn their mistake and they kept on going the wrong path. And guess what? They were led on a path of destruction. And you know, here's the thing. Sometimes I know it can just be a simple conversation that I'm having with, you know, my family or a friend. And the Holy Spirit is telling me, okay, this is what I want you to talk about in this next church service. And it's so clear. I know He just continually speaks about it to me all day long. I said, okay, Lord, I know. I'm going to talk about it. You know, for example, just the other day, I was hanging out with my daughter, Abigail, and we were just, you know, kind of hanging out with our two dogs, Danny and Daisy. You guys ever seen our dogs? I got a picture of them right here. Pretty cute. This is after, you know, they had their grooming. I got to tell you, it's like $60 for one dog for grooming. That's unreal, man. But, you know, this is right after they had their grooming, and, you know, you can see this is Danny here, and that's Daisy, that little small one here. Danny and Daisy. But I got to tell you, you know, me and Abigail, we're just petting them one day, and I made a comment. I said, why is it that even though Daisy, the female dog, right, this one right there, the smaller one, she's kind of cuter and cuddlier than Danny, the male dog. Hey, he's pretty handsome dog too. But, you know, Daisy has these cute qualities about her. But anyway, I said, why is it that even though Daisy is cuter and cuddlier than Danny, I'd rather show more affection and love to him than Daisy? And, you know, immediately, Abigail, you know what her response was? Because he's loyal, Dad. And immediately, I kind of knew what she was talking about. Because, you know, for Daisy, if you don't give her attention, because sometimes, you know, we let her out and, you know, she's running around. And if you don't give her attention, because she likes to be scratched behind the ears and she likes to be rubbed on her belly. And And sometimes, you know, we're busy and we kind of don't pay attention to her. You know, she kind of will look at us. And you can tell. I'm not kidding you, yeah? Sometimes she's like, And then she goes off and she hides under the couch or the table. I'm not kidding you. And then when you call for her, she says, "I'll come, Daisy." She gives you another look. And so I go, okay, you want to be like that? And she will just ignore us. But you know, for Danny, he's truly man's best friend. I got to tell you, because he will usually follow me wherever I go. You know, if I go, you know, like in the corner of the house, he'll follow me. And we're going to have to go to the restroom. I ain't kidding you. He'll wait outside the door because, you know, I'll close the door. And he'll sit right there at the door. And sometimes, you know, I might take a little bit longer, right? And guess what? I open the door. He's right there looking at me. He's waiting for me. And, you know, even when I yell at him, the poor dog, you know, because sometimes he'll accidentally pee on the floor. And he'll give me those sad puppy eyes. And you know what? He won't leave me. You know, some dogs, okay, I'm not going to take this kind of voice from you. And they dig out. No, he just stays right there and he takes it. Wow, what a dog, you know? And sometimes he sees me. I may be sitting on the couch, right? And he knows I'm kind of tired, and sometimes I'm feeling a little sad for whatever reason. You know what he'll do? He'll lay his head right at my feet, and he won't move at all. It's like he's feeling me, like he knows what I'm feeling. It's unreal. And I go, wow, what a loyal dog. That's what I call loyalty. And you know, as I thought about it, I knew this would be the topic for this weekend's sermon because the Holy Spirit was speaking it to me. So here's a question. I want you to take a look at your notes. The question asks, what does the Bible consider to be true loyalty? Well, first of all, I'm going to give you what the dictionary tells us the definition is. To be loyal means to be steadfast, to be faithful and true, to be there at all times, regardless of what another person is going through. You're always there. You're steadfast. You're always willing to give up your best to this very person that you call a friend. You know, you probably heard of Joseph Stalin, right? He's this infamous Russian dictator that prohibited his guards from entering his private bedchambers when there was ever a case where he was in great pain or he was nearing death. He said, "You are not allowed to enter into my bedchambers." He made it very clear. And here's the thing. Often dictators, they see themselves as like gods. So they don't want anyone to see them like in this weakened state or this weakened condition. So he said, make sure, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, don't come in. So one day, in a test of their resilience, Stalin decided to scream in agony. So he was like moaning, like that, right? Something like that anyway. And when his loyal guards came to their master's aid, right? Because they were concerned, right? You know what happened? They were immediately executed for failing to follow orders. Can you believe that? And when Stalin did actually endure a paralyzing seizure one day, he was alone in his bedroom, and none of his guards dared to come in to aid him, because what were they fearing? They're going to get killed, right? What would you do? Would you still go in there and say, "Oh, what's wrong? Can I help?" No, you're going to get shot. So nobody went in, and he was later found semi-conscious from his deputy commander while he was laying on the floor, flat out, and he died within a week. And think about this. When we hold people at an arm's distance, we shouldn't be surprised when they don't draw close to us. Because that's what we do sometimes, you know, when we say, "Oh yeah, you're my friend," and stuff, but oh, just stay your distance. You just don't want to get close for whatever reason. Sometimes you don't want to get hurt. You're thinking, okay, if I get close again, I'm gonna get shot down. And then when we really need a friend, they're not there. Because we don't make the effort to draw close to them. We keep them at an arm's distance. And here's the point. We can't expect loyalty from others while not pursuing an open and honest relationship with them. We are the ones. Sometimes we got to make the first move. Sometimes, oh, I'm waiting for them to make the move. Why don't you? Because if you say you are a believer, you belong to Christ, guess what? The love of God is in you. So you go with that love of God. You make that effort. Look what it says in 1 Peter 3:8. It says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be what? Tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. It's humility that is so important as you learn to love one another tender-heartedly. I mean, that's what's going to draw you together. You're going to have a tight, tight bond in your relationship with each other. You know, one pastor pointed out, did you know the average lifespan of a Major League Baseball, right? It's only 7 pitches. They only use it 7 times in the game, in 7 games, right? And in tennis, balls are changed after every 7 games. Really? And the reasons are similar for both. Because dirt, moisture, and the oil from the player's hands, they all serve to affect the way the balls handle and perform. So it just seems that some things in life lose their usefulness very quickly. But sadly, as the pastor points out, the same can be said for people. Think about that. As soon as they fail to perform according to our specs, he says, we quickly toss them aside. So, okay, I don't need you anymore. Bye-bye. Don't we do that sometimes? Only when we need them. Then where you kind of go, oh, yeah, but when we don't need them, okay, see you later. And we realize we got to be careful of that. Because he says, don't treat the people in your life like a baseball, discarding them after just 7 pitches. And we know that can be hurtful, can it? Can it be? You know, realizing if someone did that to you, you feel terrible too. But look what it says in Romans 12:10. It says, be devoted to one another in what? Brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. You're to put others above yourself. And the world doesn't understand this. The world says, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be out there. I got to take care of myself. I have my own problem. I have my own situation. But God says, no, you put others above yourself. And if you do that, know that God will bless you because you're doing it God's way. God wants you to have concern for other people. It's not about us all the time. And as we really understand that, that's where God will come in. And he will show himself strong in your life. Well, number 2 here, it says, true loyalty is not afraid to tell the truth to friends. Look what it says here in Proverbs 11:5. Oh, look at that verse. It says, the godly are directed by what? Honesty. The wicked fall beneath their load of sin. Are you directed by honesty? I know we talked about this like a couple of weeks ago in my sermon about work. Are you honest? Not just at work, at every place where you go. Because you know, when a godly person is honest with himself and with their loved ones, there's a less likelihood of being ensnared by the evil one. We have to be honest with each other, but we are honest in love and in truth. And the best friend you will ever have is the one who loves Jesus more than they love you. They love Jesus so much, they realize if you're starting to fall behind, you're doing some things that you know are more than just questionable. They're there saying, you know what? I got to show you what the scripture says here. I don't know if what you're doing is godly. Don't we need more friends like that? For us to tell it like it is. Because we often think of best friend as someone who is loyal to us above others. But you know, the better friend is the one whose friendship is reflective of the love of God. And if you know the Word of God, God will always be honest with us. If you're spending time with God, He will speak truth into your life. You ever spend time with God and the Holy Spirit says, okay, then I got to review some things to you. Because sometimes it's, okay, Lord, I'm clean. I did everything so well today. I didn't sin at all, Lord. And then the Holy Spirit stops me and says, Dan, think again. Then he starts putting things into my mind, into my heart. I go, shouldn't have said that. Oh, why did I do that? You guys ever had experiences like that? And you know, God, he does it because he loves us. He wants us to be humble before him. He doesn't want us to be so full of ourselves thinking we're perfect in every way. And as you go to the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, he will show it to you. And you go, oh, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. And that's what he does because he loves you. And as God will always be honest with us, we want friends that will tell it like it is. And say, Ben, come on now. Think about what you're doing. You know, my brother talks to me like that. And I go, oh, okay. And I realize, okay, Lord, I got to get it right. Because you don't want friends that will tell you only what you want to hear. For example, you may be doing something dishonest at work, you know, and let's say, I don't know, you're taking paper clips or you're making copies for your own personal use, whatever it is, right? And your friend is telling you, ah, it's perfectly okay, everybody does it. But you know, the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, that's not right. Why don't you ask your boss? If you think it's okay, how come you're not asking them if you can do it? Right? But your friend is right there, oh, nah, it's okay. You love this friend because, hey, he's telling you exactly what you want to hear. Or maybe it could be the fact that you feel great remorse for some nasty thing you said to your spouse. And you know, you said something that really hurt your loved one. And your friend, right, comes to you and says, hey, don't worry, she deserved it. Good for her. You should have said something even more nasty. I tell you, you know, you don't want to listen to that kind of advice. You can, you know, keep the friendship, but you're the one that will minister to them. Don't let them minister to you. You know what I'm saying? Because that's bad advice. You've got to go according to what the Word of God tells you. And that way you will be blessed in all of your relationships. That way you know God will see to it that you're going to be more than just blessed. You're going to have relationships that are restored. You're going to have relationships that we know are lifted up unto our Lord. And he will make sure that his presence is in all of your relationships. Because I have to tell you, some people may think that they're the best friends in the world. The ones that tell you the things you want to hear. But true friends who are loyal to you really care about you and they look after you. And they aren't afraid to tell you the truth. Even it means risking losing their friendship with you. That's how much they love you. That's how much they really care about you. You know, I got to tell you, there's two men from a foreign country that had an argument. And to settle the matter, they went to a judge for arbitration. And the plaintiff, you know, made his case. And this plaintiff, he was very eloquent and persuasive in his reasoning. And when he had finished, you know, the judge, he nodded in approval and he says, hey, that's right. That's right. And on hearing this, the defendant, he jumped up and said, hey, wait a second, judge, you haven't heard my side yet. And so the judge says, okay, go ahead and state your case. And he too, the defendant, was very persuasive and eloquent. And when he had finished, the judge said, that's right. That's right. And so the clerk of the court now heard this, and he jumped up and said, judge, they can't be both right. And that's when the judge looked at the clerk of the court and said, that's right. That's right. And you heard of yes men, right?
Yeah.
You don't want yes friends. Because you know what? They'll only tell you what you want to hear. You want friends that will tell you the truth. You want truthful friends, loving friends that will make sure, you know, that you're going to stay on track. You're not going to go off that track because, hey, they love you. Look what it says in Proverbs 27:6. It tells us here, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. I want you to think about that for a second. True friends are willing to hurt you with the truth because love. sincere love that they have for you. And because, you know, enemies, they can say nice things. Oh, Ray, you look so handsome. Oh, you did so good today. Oh, man, you are one of a kind. And they can say all these things one after the other. But what is it? It's many kisses that are not real, right? We want to hear things that we know that will edify us, yes. But, you know, enemy can just keep on saying these words, these nice words. But you know what? They may be trying to get something from you. You know, or whatever the reason is, and we are not to fall into that trap. And realize, you know, we want friends that tell us the truth about who we are, what we need to make better of things that we know that aren't right. Well, number three here, it says, true loyalty never leaves a friend alone. And in 2 Timothy 1, 15 through 18, we read about Paul. And you know, Paul, he was converted. He had an encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to a point where his whole life was about going out in the world and telling the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, he really thought that, hey, all the Christians would be there to back him up. You know, isn't that the right thing to do? But look what it says here. Look what Paul says. He says, as you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me, even Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show special kindness to Onesiphorus and all his family because he often visited and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. When he came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. Oh, what a friend. May the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ's return. And you know very well how helpful he was in Ephesus. Can you imagine the very fact that Paul had sacrificed everything he had to proclaim the word of God? I mean, he once had a good reputation with the leaders of the law. Right? Everyone said, yeah, he's one that is wise. He's one that knows the word of God. But now that he's proclaiming Christ, he's now looked upon as a madman in chains. You understand? He's in chains because they don't want him to talk about Jesus Christ. But he's going out boldly and telling, no, Jesus is the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. And the very ones he thought he could count on, what? Abandons him. You know, we mentioned Phygellus and Hermogenes, right? They kind of just said, you know what? This guy is crazy. He's in chains. Oh, let's not support him anymore. But then he discovers who his true friends are, like Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus continued to believe in him and support him through thick or thin. That's what a true friend does. You know, because there are cases, right, where you may be experiencing a difficulty in life. And you know, you have those close friends, man, they stick to you like super glue. You know what I mean? When you're experiencing hardship, they're there. I mean, I have friends like that. They call me up and say, man, are you okay? Can I pray for you? You know, what is it that you need? You know, they're always there. And then I hang up maybe an hour later. They'll call again and say, Ben, so how is this? You know, and I try to do the same thing, realizing, hey, this is what we all need, encouragement. In those times when we're hurting, because that's what a true friend does. Look what it says in Proverbs 17:17. It says there, a true friend is what? Always loyal. And a brother is born to help in a time of need. Do you have that kind of friends? Praise God if you do. Give God glory that you have friends like that. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, some people, they just feel like, hey, I got problems of my own. You got your problem, I got my problem. And when you are hurting, they're nowhere to be found. And we realize we don't want to be that kind of friend. We want to be there for people that we know are hurting. We're going to pray for them. And we're going to make sure we're going to give them the support that they need. Look what it says in Proverbs 17:9. It says, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. And we realize we all make mistakes. But we know that as we let love conquer, you know, all of our negative feelings. We let it conquer all the hatred, all the bitterness. That's where we can really have our friendships flourish. And we gotta be willing to say, letting it go. Because it tells us it can separate close friends when a fault is not forgiven. And we realize, you know, that's what a true friend does. We don't hold on to the past. We say, let's move on. And we know that's where your friendship will get closer and closer. You know, I hear it too often at the park. Someone tells me, you know, oh, I'm a pastor. I'm actually estranged from my wife and my children. And I hear that, you know, at first I was thinking, estranged? What does that mean? You think about that, you know, estranged. How you spell it? Estranged, right? You heard that word. What word is in that word? Strange, right? It's like when your loved one has become a stranger to you. You see that? And we realize, wow, how did we allow that to happen? Because I hear it. You say, oh, because they said this about me, or whatever, they did this, and oh, you haven't talked for like 15, 20 years. It'll be sibling, spouse, or children, or whatever. And we realize, oh, it's time we let love in, because it says love prospers when a fault is forgiven. When we can let the love of God in, we realize that's where God can start the restoration process. And we gotta realize, we gotta let go of the hurts. We don't hold on to the pain of the past. And sometimes people say, oh, but you don't know what that person did, Pastor. Oh, I was so disappointed by him or her. And I say, I understand. But you know, you got to realize, you got the love of God in you. You got to let it go. Really. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. Look at that. 1 Corinthians 13:7. It says, love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is, we endure through it, and we know it. Our love never gives up, because it's the very love of God that says, don't give up. Keep loving, keep on building your relationship. Amen? But number four here, it says, true loyalty is based upon three cords that cannot be broken. You know, there's a pastor. He's a pastor and a Christian writer. His name is Mitchell Dillon. And he sums up what is the very thing that makes a loyal friendship lasting and enduring. He points out that in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12, Solomon gives us three unifying cords that build a friendship that cannot be broken. Look what it says there in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. It says there, two are better than one, because they have a good, more satisfying reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie down together, then they have warmth. But how can one be warm alone? And though a man might prevail against him who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And from this, he talks about the very fact that there are three cords. Cord number one is to be this kind of friend. And we can't expect to have a loyal friendship if we are not committed to being a loyal friend to others. It starts with us. If you want someone to be loyal to you, you got to be loyal to them. It starts with you. Sometimes people say, no, I got to see if they for real first. Say, you show them you're for real first. Then they'll show you, hey, their love for you is for real too. You know what I'm saying? It goes both ways. It has to go both ways, because that's how God wants it. It has to be a love that is enduring, that is lasting. And we only know it's only through God that can really bring forth the fullness of His love. When we're willing to say, hey, I'll be that one to love deeply. Number two, the core number two is to seek this kind of friendship through an active social life. And this involves a social investment on our part, the pastor says. As Solomon suggests, woe to him who is alone. And friendship involves an investment of time. And you know, you gotta understand, you gotta go out and make those godly friendships. We cannot say, oh, I don't have time. You know, my schedule is too busy. We got to make the time. Because you know what? It won't just come to you. Friendships don't get to where it is, you know, where people trust each other. They don't just come just like that. It takes time. And you got to be willing to look for those kinds of godly friendships where you know those people will always be with you through thick or thin. They will love you deeply with the love of God. And that's what we need to do. We gotta look for those friendships. And we gotta say, Lord, show me where to go. Lord, help me. And I got a testimony where I remember one time in my life I was backsliding and I was doing all the things I knew was wrong because you know everyone said, oh Ben, just remember I told you guys this testimony, right? It's oh one day, Ben, come on, for old time's sake, right? And a lot of times I said, no, I don't want to do that anymore. And sometimes, oh, come on. And I just take one, then I take two, then three, four, then five, then six. Next thing I know, oh, I'm like, I'm cold. And I realize, what did I just do? And you got to realize, we got to be careful of that. That's why you want to see godly relationships. Amen? People that will bring you up. They will not tell you, okay, we'll do this because everyone else is doing it. You see what I'm saying? We gotta look for godly friends that will help us to stay on track. Amen? Well, number three here. Core number three is the presence of Christ. And mysteriously, Solomon concludes that two dedicated friends become a threefold cord which is not quickly broken. And you think about this. How does two become three? Two, right? You don't add anything to it. How can it become anything else? Right? But Solomon tells us two becomes three. And we realize this happens when Christians, who are both dedicated believers, they bring the strength of the Lord to their friendship. And we got to realize this. You want God to bless your relationship? Oh, let the Lord come in. You know, you got to talk about the Lord often, you know, in your friendship with someone. You pray together. You share the scriptures together. Oh, that's how you're going to build each other up. And that's how you're going to be so alive in Christ. You need to have a brother or sister alongside you, you know, to keep you going, to keep on edifying you, spurring you to continue forward. You know, since I started this sermon with an illustration about my dogs, and it's only fitting that I end with an illustration about another dog. Let me tell you about this dog here. First of all, I want to ask you, don't you admire a dog who shows obedience to his master? You ever seen, I don't know how these guys do it, right? You know, they're walking with their dog. And this dog is doing everything the master is telling them. Okay, sit. Just stand. Walk. Okay, play dead. And I go, wow, my dog doesn't do that. How come? I'm going to return my dogs. They don't listen, especially Daisy, you know? They don't come here. She go the opposite way. She running fast. Say, huh, is there a warranty on this dog, you know? But you realize that's the kind of dog, man. You go, wow. And, you know, there's this American poet. His name is Archibald Rutledge. And he wrote one day as he met a man whose dog had been killed in a forest fire. And this man was so heartbroken. And the man explained to Rutledge how it happened. And he said, you know, because he worked outdoors, he often took his dog with him. And that morning, he left the animal near some trees in the woods and gave him the command, you stay and watch my lunch bucket until I come back. And you know what? His faithful friend understood, and that's exactly what he did. However, there was a fire that was started in the woods, and soon the blaze spread to the spot where the dog had been left. Guess what? The dog didn't move. He stayed there, and he perished. He stayed right where he was in perfect obedience to his master's word. And with tearful eyes, the dog's owner said, I always had to be careful what I told him to do because I knew he would do it. He's always been that obedient, that faithful, that loyal. And I want you to understand, with God. He wants us to be obedient to His word. But you have to understand this, though. This is very important, that God will always protect you. He will never put you in harm's way. If He's asking you to do something, no, He's going to see you through it. Because you know what? God's ways are perfect. In this case, this master, he's a human being. Is he perfect? No, nobody is perfect except for God alone. So when God puts it in our heart to do something, you obey. You be loyal. And you know He will see you through it. But you must trust in Him with your whole heart. Don't make excuses. Say, Lord, I trust in You. And I know, Father, You're going to bring it forth. And we realize Jesus, He best exemplifies loyalty to His Father and to who else? To all of us. He's loyal to the Father and to His brethren, which is us. I want you to look at Philippians 2, 7 to 9. You're going to see how obedient, how faithful he is to his Father. It says here, instead, he, meaning Jesus, right? Jesus gave up his divine privileges. Remember, he's God. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. It says here, he humbled himself in obedience to God. And there came a point, right, where he was in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yet, he knew he had to be obedient. He had to be faithful to his Father. And he was loyal, wasn't he, to his Father. But then you look at Romans 5:8. Look what it says here. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners. Still sinners. Christ died for us. I want you to understand the loyalty that's clearly seen in this verse. While we were still sinners. It basically means we could have been the one that spat in His face. We could have been the ones that cursed Him when He was carrying that cross to Golgotha. While we were still yet sinners, Christ said, I love you so much, I'm still going to die for you. Is that loyalty or what? That's extreme loyalty. That's what you got to understand. Loyalty that we know comes from the heart of our Father. So now that we know of Jesus' loyalty to His Father and to us, the question now to ask, how about our loyalty to Jesus? Because one Christian author wrote, listen to what he says, you are only as loyal to Jesus as you are loyal to your least favorite person. Think about that. Who's your least favorite person? Well, it tells us, let me read that statement again. You are only as loyal to Jesus as you are loyal to your least favorite person. In other words, if you're not loyal to your least favorite person, you're not loyal to Jesus. Wow. Because you got to understand, Jesus substituted His death for all of mankind, thus proving Himself to be loyal to absolutely everyone. Doesn't matter who. He died for sinners too, you remember? He died for everyone. So He proved Himself that He was loyal to the whole world, to everyone. He was willing to die because of His great love. And from this reality of truth, we discover that if we say we have received this act of love from Jesus, we too should be loyal to all. Yes, even to our enemies. Because that's what Jesus taught. Don't look at me and say, oh, come on, Pastor Ben. You said, I didn't say that. God said it. Jesus said it. And we must follow what He tells us to do. Because, you know, the author, he writes, to be disloyal to those for whom Christ died is to be disloyal to Him. Let me say that again. To be disloyal to those for whom Christ died is to be disloyal to Him. And we know what it says in Matthew 5, 43 to 45. It tells us here, Jesus says, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you want to be a true child of God, it tells us we must love our enemies. And you know, Jesus was not only loyal to his friends and followers, but also to his enemies and people he never even met. He was willing to die for strangers. Can you imagine that? So loyal, he even died for all of them. And you're probably thinking, hey, it's hard enough just to love our enemies. But wait a minute, you're telling us we got to have the willingness to die for them? Really? And here's the thing. You know, as I went to the Lord about this, he kind of said to me, you know, you may or may not have to die for your enemies. But it really makes you think, though, how far can you stretch your love for them? Really, how far? Because some people say, oh, maybe I can love them like this much. Well, God says, stretch it. Because I'm going to help you stretch it. Because I want you to be more like my son, Jesus. You let me stretch it, I'm going to stretch it, child. Because I know this is the only way you'll become more like my son. We got to be willing. Because if we're like this much, that's nothing. We got to say, Lord, help me. Stretch it. It's hurting, Lord. Help me. And the Lord is going to stretch it. And it may be painful. But you know what? God is working on your heart. He's working on your soul. And as you let him, you allow him, guess what? The presence of God is filling you up. And you're becoming truly more like Jesus. You kind of think about this. You know, this is something we know can only be done through the power of God. And you know, like I told you earlier, you know, my sermon, you know, the title of it is Loyal Like a Dog. And some people may think, well, wait a minute, well, why are you comparing us to dogs? They're animals. We're not animals. But you know what? There's a lot to be learned from dogs, don't you think? You ever watch on YouTube where, you know, a person from the military, you know, Marines or whatever, Army, they come home from like Afghanistan or, you know, wherever they went to fight in a battle, in a war. And as soon as they come home, guess who's at the front door? The dog. And they go crazy, right? They're like so happy to see them. And go, wow, what loyalty. I want to show you this video right now of these dogs. Oh, you can see how loyal they are. Jensen. Thank you. See how excited, you probably haven't seen them for like a couple of years. Immediately, you recognize, oh, that's my friend. And you realize God caused us to have this kind of loyalty to other people. And you know what? To Him. Because, you know, just think about this. Was there ever a time when you knew that you was being led by the Holy Spirit to spend quiet time with Him? Like, you know, instead of saying, okay, it's like a dog, oh, we're gonna wait, let's go, Lord. Oh, man, I gotta read the Bible now. Oh, man, I'm busy. Oh, man, okay, I'm gonna pray, but I'm gonna pray a quick prayer. Oh, man, I don't have time. You know, just imagine knowing our Lord God is our master. You see how those dogs going crazy, wanting to be in the presence of their master. Do we get excited? Knowing that we're coming into the presence of Lord God and King when we spend time with Him? When we open up our Bibles and say, Lord, speak to me. I want to experience more of You. We get excited. We get pumped up. Because that's how it should be. You know, when I really thought about this, this verse came to mind. Look at your bottom line verse. In Psalm 42, it says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for You, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? You see the psalmist? When, Lord, I want to be with You. I want to enter into Your throne room boldly, because I want to just fall right into Your arms. I want You to take a hold of me, Lord, and just hold me tight and don't let go, Lord, because I love to be in Your presence. Oh, 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 I want some more. Do we have that kind of excitement? Well, we should. As the deer pants for water. Sometimes, you know, deers, you know, they get so thirsty and they realize if they find the water, just in a pond or a river, they say, oh, I want more. I want more. And the psalmist writes, so my soul pants for You, my God. And we should have this kind of strong desire to want to be in the presence of our Lord God and King, our Father God. Because He will show it to you. He will let you know how real His love is for you when you desire Him like this. And I want to conclude by showing you this video. It's one of my favorite songs. It's a classic. It's called As the Deer. And I want you to really experience God, okay? In a way that as you listen to this song, ask yourself, does my soul pant for God? Or do I grumble? Or do I make excuses? You know, I'm included in this because sometimes I do this too. I want to let you know. But as you let the Holy Spirit speak to you, as you listen to this song, you kind of watch some of the images on the screen, just let the Holy Spirit fill you up. Like, He's not condemning you. He's convicting you. He wants you to heart in full. Dancing, could you go ahead and show that video? Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart and to your soul. You realize that His presence compares to nothing like what we can ever imagine. We know it's His presence that gives us life. And if we know we've been neglecting spending time with Him and experiencing His holy presence, we know now that God, He demands our loyalty because He loves us. He wants us to spend time with Him because that's how we grow in deeper love with our Father God. And let me tell you, as you grow deeper in love with our Father, you just just going to see how your relationships are going to be so blessed. Every single relationship that you have, wherever it is, you know it's going to be blessed. Because you're not loving with your own love. You're loving with the very love of our Father God. This is the kind of loyalty that we are to have towards our friends, our loved ones, our co-workers, whoever it is. We know we can't do this if we don't have the love of God strong in us. And that is why it's so important we must spend time with the Father. Get in the Word. Pray to Him. Speak to Him. And as you look to Him, He will speak right into your life. And He's going to know how loyal you are. He will only bless your life. He's going to show Himself so strong in your life that you know it's truly Him that's working everything out. All the miracles that will take place will come from Him. You must give fully unto Him. Amen. Be loyal to Him. Love Him deeply. Love others deeply. And your life will be blessed. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for this message spoken today. And I know it comes straight from You. And we praise You, Lord, knowing that this is what You want us to be. To be loyal brothers and sisters, loyal children unto You. And Father, we know we only can do this through Your power, through Your grace. And Father, I ask You now, if any of us here kind of realize right now that we've been lacking that, we've been lacking loyalty in our relationships towards one another, we're lacking loyalty to You, Lord. I pray that as Your Holy Spirit speaks in such a tender, loving way, we're going to realize this, we're going to take a hold of it and say, Lord, I'm going to make things right, as only You can, because Lord, that's what You do. And I pray right now, as You let the Holy Spirit speak right into your soul, just take it in, to say, Lord, I receive it. I know it's You, Lord. And as You hear His sweet, tender, loving voice, say, Lord, I'm going to make things right. And with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, You're saying, Lord, I will truly do as You ask. Father, help me. If this is Your heart's prayer, can You raise Your hand right now so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. I see Your hands. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Anyone else? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Anyone else? All right, you put your hands down. Why don't we pray? Father in heaven, You've seen all the hands that were raised. And Father, my hand was raised up too. Lord, help us, Lord, to love deeply. If we're not loving deep enough, or if we're not allowing You to stretch our love even further, Lord, forgive us. Help us to love the way You want us to love. Because this is the only way that will bring forth Your power and Your restoration. And we're crying out to You, Lord, help us. Because we are in desperate need of You. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, let Your holy presence just fall afresh upon Your people right now. In Jesus' name. Father, let Your holy presence just fill this entire room, Lord. As only You can do it, Lord. Fill this entire room with Your holy, loving, sweet presence. Father, as we choose to let go of all bitterness, of all anger, Father, I pray You're going to replace all that negativity with the positive flow of Your Holy Spirit's presence. Father, fill. Fill. Fill, Lord, in Jesus' name. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for some of you, maybe saying, Pastor Ben, I heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. But what must I do? How do I get started? Well, you know, you can pray this simple prayer, but you know, just the words alone will not get you saved. It's the very heart behind the words you are saying. if you really mean what you're going to be praying in just a minute here, know that God is listening. He's going to receive your prayer. And He's going to welcome you with open arms into His family. But you must make this decision. It must come from within yourself, within your heart, your soul, your spirit. You're crying out to God. And as you do, you know God's going to come in and He's going to show Himself strong. The Bible says if you deny Him, He will deny you. But if you receive Him, He will welcome you gladly with open arms. If you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, oh, don't resist. Say, yes, Lord, I choose You. I choose to live my life for You. And if you know that Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart right now, and you're saying yes to Him, can you raise your hand right now? Say, that's me. I say yes to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, yes, Lord. All of me for You. All of me, Lord, I give freely unto You. Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Put your hands down. Let's pray, brothers and sisters, and let's pray together as a family, knowing this is what we're proclaiming, is what we believe about our Lord God. Say, Father God, I need You. I give You praise for who You are. I believe in You, and I believe in Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross, but on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give You praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But Your word says, if I confess of my sins, You are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto You. So now I say this so You can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him, and I live for a moment. I am property of Jesus Christ. Give You all the glory. Father God, write my name in Your book of life, for I give You praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.